2 Chronicles chapter 9, I want to talk about the Queen of Sheba. She heard of the fame of Solomon, verse 1, maybe because his servants had gone there to Sheba looking for gold, because Sheba was famous for gold. And she came with hard questions or riddles, which Solomon answered. Now in Proverbs chapter 1, we're told that the wisdom that God gave Solomon, that's written down in the Proverbs, was given so that people can understand the problems that the wise raise. So the Good News Bible says, Proverbs 1 verse 6. So clearly it was the book of Proverbs that really blew her away and answered her questions. And there was no more spirit in her. She gave up any mental fight against Solomon, and she was bowled away with all this wisdom of the book of Proverbs, which, as I say, was given to reveal the hidden meanings of problems that the wise raise. And it's the same word in Hebrew, that word problems in the Good News Bible. It's the same word for the hard questions or riddles which the Queen of Sheba gives to Solomon. So then, she is very impressed, but, verse 3, when the Queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built, presumably she came when the temple had been finished, because there's only one house mentioned. He spent many more years building his own house. And he had prayed in 1 Kings 8 that the temple would be a light for the Gentile world, and indeed it was. But my point is that she had heard of all this wisdom, but it was not until she saw the wisdom in practice with her own eyes that she actually believed it. And she said in verse 5, "It was a true report that I heard of your wisdom." In other words, the answers you gave me, I had actually heard of them back home. I guess the book of Proverbs had been, as it were, published, and she had had a copy. It had been read to her, perhaps. But she says it wasn't until she had seen it. Verse 6, "Howbeit I didn't believe the words until I came and my eyes had seen it," that is the wisdom. She says, "It was a true report that I heard of your wisdom, but I didn't believe the words until I came and my eyes had seen it." So it is hard for people to believe mere words. They've got to see the Word made flesh. And this, of course, was the whole point of the Lord Jesus, that he was that Word made flesh. The Word was in the beginning with God, but it was made flesh in the person of Jesus. And so my point is that just as God in his wisdom chose to make his Word flesh in his Son to, as it were, be the message, so likewise with our preaching, it is not of ideas and intellectual points that will alone persuade people. This is why Hebrews 1 says that God spoke in the past by the prophets, but he has now spoken to us in his Son. He is that word to us, and we in our turn are also that word to people. He has no other body, no other hands, legs, eyes, mouth, words in this world, ultimately, apart from you and me. And this is why people lament that, well, we don't get much response to the gospel. They have a church hall and they put up a sign outside it saying there's a special seminar or lecture tonight on such and such a theme. Is God one or three? What happens when you die? People may or may not come and listen to what you have to say. They may or may not download what you've got to say from the internet and have a look through it. But very few people, on the basis purely of intellectual persuasion, or theological gladiatorship, as John Thomas put it, are going to turn around and say, "Oh yeah, now I'm converted." Conversion ultimately is in a person, is in a word made flesh. Don't forget that the vast majority of Christian converts or converts to God's people over the millennia have been illiterate. They were not Bible students because they couldn't read, and the text of the Bible was not conveniently available. It is an anachronism for us to consider that because in our age the text of the Bible is so easily available, well, therefore it must have been always. It wasn't. And people did not believe because they studied the Bible. Right? In quote the Bereans, they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. But they were an exception because most people were illiterate. Sure, there is that place for those wired like the Bereans to come to those conclusions and to research truth, as it were, in that way. But most people haven't had that opportunity. So how then were they persuaded? They were persuaded by people. How is it that, for example, a Christian preacher could rock up in a town in what is now southern Turkey, preach a message about Jesus, and people said, wow, I believe that, baptize me please. And then they went and risked their lives, everything, for the sake of that message, and were persecuted unto the death for the sake of that message. How could they do that if they were illiterate, if they had never studied the Bible? They did it because the obvious question that arises when someone is saying, look, there was this man called Jesus who lived in Palestine. Yeah, most people hadn't moved 50 kilometers from their birthplace in those days. And anyway, he was a Jew, which they didn't particularly like, Jews. And he died on a cross. Ooh, the cross was something he didn't even talk about. So he was a crook. He was a big-time criminal then. And anyway, after 3 days, he rose again. Oh, so everybody saw him then. Oh, no, only his friends. I see. Yeah, and anyway, and after 40 days, he ascended to heaven. And he's now in heaven, and he's going to come back. And you've sinned, and because he never sinned, his death means that if you identify with him in baptism and faith in him, you will be forgiven and you can live forever. I mean, that message of itself had no chance of credible belief. Because the obvious question is, well, you say he died, right? Well, where's the body? What happened to the body? How can you prove this? I mean, in a sort of empirical sense, of course you can't prove it. But the obvious answer to the question, which may or may not have been specifically posed, but it was surely there in every heart on some level, where's the body? Well, yeah, looking at you, me, and my brother over there, and my sister over there. Where's the body? Right in front of you. Where is he? Can I see him? Yeah, he's right here, looking at you. And it was that which was the basis of people being persuaded. And so it was all down the centuries when people likewise were illiterate. It is mythical to think that true Christians are all Bible students who were intellectually persuaded of truth on this, that, or the other point. No, that's not how it was. It couldn't have been, because the text of the scriptures was just not out there, easily available, and people were illiterate. That's got to be given its full and due weight. So how were people persuaded? They were persuaded of Jesus Christ, not of theology, not of a detailed theology. That could not have been the case. They were persuaded of Jesus Christ by those in him. The word was made flesh. And you see this all the way back here with the Queen of Sheba. She says, yeah, I heard your book of Proverbs. I heard your wisdom, but I didn't believe it until I saw it.